When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. I'm in here today. I got my man Remo with me, and we officially tapping in and doing the Dom Corleo interview.
Yes, sir.
It's official. It's going down. And introduce us to your friend here as well.
It's Bristow. A lot of people probably know Bristow already.
I'm a producer. Produced a couple songs you might know.
You guys think of yourselves as like a real rapper-producer duo, or is it just a temporary thing?
No, I'd say so.
I think we're a rock band.
Yeah, we're a little rock band, a little duo. Yeah.
How y'all meet? How y'all get tapped in with each other?
Yeah, me and Bristow met five years ago. Yeah, because I was just, I had started making music, and then, I was just networking through, Instagram and just through a bunch of producers I was networking
through,
with.
Like, YouTube and
actually, no. I met Bristow. He was making YouTube type beats, and I had found one of your beats on YouTube, right? Mm. And then I just hit him up, and I was just like, yo, you're hard, and pause. But
very necessary.
I hit him up, and we just locked in, and just from there, bro, I got connected with all his homies, and then we just became a big ass friend group. So.
Okay. Yeah. So even before that, though, musically, or what was your childhood like? Give us a little bit of insight into that.
Pretty standard childhood. I grew up, with both my parents. I'm from California, so I was born.
Up north, right?
Yeah. Wait, what was that, my bad?
Up north?
Yeah, so I was born, where, Roseville is at? It's kind of by Sacramento.
Okay.
So I was born there. Lived there for about 10 years in this little city called Rockland. And then I moved out to the Bay Area when I was about 10, 11. And, went to middle school there. Actually, I finished off elementary there, went to middle school, graduated high school in the Bay. And then I moved out to Arizona for 2 years because my parents got a crib out there.
Mm. So what were your parents doing during all this?
Growing up?
Or career-wise or whatever, yeah.
My dad does audiovisual. Ever since I've grown up, he's always done audiovisual. So, he'll go, I don't know, he does cool shit. They've done shit with, Electronic Arts. I remember when I was young, he always used to bring me to, the EA headquarters to, get games and shit. They'd have that little store in there. So they do shit where, they set up the conference rooms, something like this. So, the audio... I don't even know. All the audio equipment, he would do all that shit. So
I feel like most of my life I knew what my dad did, but I didn't actually really know what he was doing at work a lot of the time. You know?
Yeah. Nah, he would bring me to work with him here and there. So I got to see all the shit he would do. And then my mom was always doing apartment leasing and she would always be I know when I was in high school, the complex we lived at, she was the manager there. So, she was always doing that. Actually, when I was younger, she worked at a casino. It was a hotel casino, and she worked in the hotel area as the manager there. So I used to go to the casino when I was young and go and run around there. So that was fun.
That's what's up.
But I lived in Arizona for 2 years, and then I moved out here to LA the beginning of this year.
Okay, you didn't like Arizona,
bro? It's just so dry there. There's not going on there. It's nice. It's nice if you're retired.
Exactly.
My parents love it because it's quiet. They've got a nice house, which, wasn't expensive. Cause, coming from the Bay Area is the most expensive place to live now. It's ridiculous out there. So they went, they got a nice house and it's kind of west of Phoenix, 20 minutes west of Phoenix.
Okay.
And they love it. It's just, bro, it's too hot. and it's just it's not much going on, like, as far as music.
Arizona seems good when we're talking to drill artists and they're talking about moving to Arizona, like, yeah, to get away from, like, all the murders in the city they grew up in. But for someone who lives in, like, L.A., I just cannot imagine how much more boring it would be to move out there.
Yeah, bro, it's not. I was just actually there this past week just visiting my parents, but, yeah, it ain't really going on there. They've got, like, a little scene, but it's just, I don't know, bro. It's the desert, so, you know.
So you feel like the Bay is more home for you?
Yeah, no, the Bay is definitely home because that's, you know, that's where I spent. I say, like, where you're from is where you grow up. So, like, me, you know, I did end of elementary, middle school, high school, all in the Bay Area. So that's definitely, like, where I, you know, where I would say I'm from.
So were you making music in, like, when you were in high school, or when did that start?
Yeah, so I started making music when I was 15. So I think I was, like, a sophomore. And it was actually funny. Like, it started as a joke. Like, me and my homeboys would just go over to each other's crib, and we had, like, a little PlayStation headset, and we downloaded Audacity, and we were just, like, around doing freestyles. And then, you know, it went from that to where I was going back to my house. I had, like, this little setup. I had, there was this girl at my school that sold me, like, a snowball mic for, like, $20. And I made this little setup where I put cardboard, like, around it to do, like, the, you know, to block out the noise. And, you know, it went from freestyling at my friend's crib to recording at home when I got home from school. And then, like, I would bring my shit over to my friend's crib and I would record at his crib, you know. So, like, yeah, it just, I don't know, it's kind of weird how it came to be. But, it, you know, it's just something that I immediately, like, grew a passion for. And at that time, too, like, you know, I was big in the SoundCloud shit. Like, I loved every SoundCloud rapper that was popping at that time. So,
like, what era of SoundCloud rap were you talking about?
Like, X, Uzi.
Okay.
Like, that, you know, that was when I was a freshman. Like, I remember I found X when I was, like, in eighth grade. And then when I was, like, a freshman is when he started blowing up. So, right, like, that, you know, and that whole SoundCloud scene started blowing up. That was, like, 2016. So I just, yeah, you know, I was heavily influenced by all that. Like, I, you know, seeing all these guys and just being, like, I was never good in school, so I was always, you know, I had my headphones in, just listening to music. And
were you, like, a popular kid, or were you kind of a loner?
Nah, I was to myself, bro. I just put my headphones in. Hell no. I put my headphones in, just get my shit done, and, you know, I go kick it with my homeboys and smoke weed, like, in the car on break. So I was never really around nobody like that.
So when you moved to LA, was that primarily because of the music? And did you actually have traction, or, like, were you doing any numbers at that point?
Yeah, so I moved to LA, like, right after it really, like, took off. Because, you know, I had been making music for, like, 5 years. But shit really didn't take off until, like, the end of 2022. I had dropped that this one song, Penthouse Shorty, like, August 2022, and I put it on TikTok. Actually, I put it on TikTok, like, right before I dropped it, and the snippet just, like, blew up, just got huge. And, you know, just from there, like, I dropped the song did really good. I just stayed really consistent, kept dropping, you know, every drop I was putting out, I was just staying really consistent with TikTok, too, and every drop I was putting out was just doing really good. So, obviously, when that starts happening, you know, labels start hitting you up, and everybody starts reaching out. So, like, in this time period, like the end of 2022, you know, I was going back and forth. Just me and my manager were flying out to LA like every week to do all these meetings and, you know, meet with all these different people and get in studios with this person and that person. So, yeah, it was just really hectic going back and forth. So it was just easier for me to make the move out here. And by the time I did move out here, I was a lot more established with what I was doing. So.
And did you already sign?
Yeah, so I'm. It's not a record deal. It's a distribution deal.
Okay.
So I have a distribution deal, and then I have a pub admin deal.
Okay. Who'd you sign with?
My distribution deal is with an indie label called New 11. So they were actually really close with my manager. It's two guys that own the label.
Uh-huh.
And they were already really close with my manager. My manager had already, you know, brought them a bunch of deals, and he was seeing what they were doing for other artists. So he was like, yo, you should with them. You know, they really with you. They would love to just start with something small. And, you know, like, I wanted to obviously be smart about it because these major labels come to you and they're offering you, you know, they're offering you a little bag, but they locking you in for 6 years. And it's like, you know, you go to a major label as a small artist, they've got artists like Uzi and, you know, what makes me believe that they're going to prioritize me over artists like that?
Definitely.
You know, there's a lot of labels are just looking for a quick buck when it comes down to that. Like, you know, they see a TikTok hit. Of course they want to sign you because they want to make that money off that TikTok hit you got. So, yeah, I mean, I knew I didn't want to sign to a major off the bat like that. So, yeah, I ended up, you know, fucking with these two guys that my manager was close with. They had their own little shit going, and it just worked out, bro. I took, like, a small distribution deal with them off the bat. Got those. It was, like, 15 songs. Got those out the way, and then re-signed with them for, obviously, like, a lot larger amount.
And so when you first started getting any kind of viral going on or whatever, was it primarily on TikTok? Like, you just kind of kept putting yourself out there on TikTok and just random clips started doing well?
Yeah, bro. It was just TikTok. Like, and it wasn't even that other people were posting shit. It was just me, like, and I would just post the most simple shit too. Like, for example, the shit that blew up was just like a snippet of the music video. And the music video was just full shot on VHS. Like, I wanted it to be super simple just because I knew, like, what would gain that traction at that time. So I told my videographer homie, I was like, bro, look, let's do this mad simple. We'll just go, you know, VHS the whole thing. I'm gonna post a clip on TikTok, and, you know, we hope for the best. And from there, it just took off. So as soon as that took off, I took advantage. I was just using, like, the sound on TikTok, making videos with it, like, as much as I could, every day, every other day. And every video, you know, would do really good, because that's kind of the way TikTok is. It's weird, bro. They have, like, a weird algorithm where, like, if you catch that algorithm and you're posting a certain way, like, every video you post is going to go up. And as soon as you kind of let go of it, we're like, now I'm at the point where I kind of let go of that. So now when I post TikToks, they're not going to do as good as, you know, like, it was before. So I kind of got to get back in that algorithm. But, yeah, I mean, at this time, bro, like, everything was just going up.
Why did you fall back from, like, doing TikToks? Like,
bro,
you
don't want to be, like... So, like, it's not even that I didn't want to be anything. Like, I don't mind doing TikToks. I don't see anything wrong with TikTok.
You start to feel like Addison Rae?
Nah, not that type of TikTok.
It's like you're doing a little too much.
Yeah, nah. I mean, everybody uses TikTok. You see, like, Yachty making TikToks. And, you know. There ain't nothing wrong with it.
Big percentage of artists have, like, a person on their team who's in charge of coming up with TikTok ideas for them at this point.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I remember when I first started doing it, I was like, bro, like, I don't got no ideas. Because everybody was making these TikToks, like, where they got this whole caption. You know, they post it and they've got, like, my music, this, that. Like, bro, I was literally just posting videos, like, just a video of me with no like caption or anything, and I would just put, like, or like if the song was dropping Friday, the caption would be Friday, and it's just a video of me, like, with the song playing.
Because as an artist, there's a lot of stuff that you could do on YouTube or TikTok or whatever that might go viral or be good for getting you out there, but ultimately will kind of make you look like a piece of corny to a lot of the fan base. So there's a lot of weird decisions to make like that, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to make it in a certain way where, like, it looks a type of way. And, you know, obviously going along with my career, I've done shit that, you know, I probably shouldn't have done, or shit that looked a certain way. That, you know, that small thing can affect, like, a lot. And, you know, it can affect how a lot of people look at you. I don't see nothing wrong with, you know, doing TikTok. It's definitely, I mean, it's free promo, bro. I didn't pay a dime to post any of those, and I got all that free engagement off of just solely posting those. So yeah, I mean, it definitely did a lot for me.
So you started recording music in, like, 2017, and then you started constantly, like, posting TikToks. And, like, when does management come into play? Like, when did you decide, all right, I might need a manager? Or did they
The TikTok, I was late to that, bro, because, you know, that you had that wave of, like, underground artists blowing up, like, 2020 2021. I didn't do that till, like, the year after, 2022. Because I remember when all those artists were blowing up, the first way I looked at it, I was like, this is corny. Like, you know what I mean? But then, you know, you kind of realize, like, I don't know. I just had, like, a realization. I was like, all right. Because I had tried to post TikToks before, and they didn't do anything. So I was like, damn, like, people not with my shit, or, you know, this and that. And then that's when a year later, I give it another try. I'm like, all right, let me just try it out. But I actually got management right before. So I first linked my manager in, I think it was, like, May 2022. And then there was this one song. I had posted a snippet on Instagram, went up a little bit. I had dropped that, like, a month after I you know, first signed with my manager for, like, under a management deal. Because I never had a manager before, you know. I was just doing everything solo for, like, you know, since I started. And then, so, you know, obviously getting that manager helped a lot because he was just doing everything on the business side. Like, it was kind of perfect timing because he started managing me. Shit started going up. That's when labels start reaching out. And as soon as labels start reaching out, you know, I had him doing all the talking and doing all the business side of shit because I mean, as an artist, bro, like, I was super new to all that. I didn't know about business, the business side of things. All I knew was talking to a mic and you know, make music.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know anything about, you know, because a lot of artists get screwed, bro. They sign a deal and they get screwed because they don't know shit. They see a dollar sign and sign. You know what I mean? So, it was kind of just perfect timing getting that manager.
When you get management, though, like, from your perspective, what do they bring into the table that you didn't really have before that?
I think just an extra hand, bro. I mean, obviously a manager, it's their job. You know, if you have a good manager, it's their job to push you, you know, the most they can, because they're making money off you. So at the end of the day, they want you to make money because that's where they're getting their money. So I think, yeah, if you have a dedicated manager, bro, like, it's just really, it's like an extra hand and everything. And they're obviously on top of helping you, doing all this talking for you and doing all the business side of things. You know, they're pushing you.
Mm.
Like, I have two managers. So I have my main manager who does, like, a lot more of the business. And then I have my day-to-day who's Sean. He's out there.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's my main manager is in Canada. So he can't be with me all the time. So, you know, I got Sean, which Sean I've actually known for, like, 5 years. So, you know, I've been close with him damn near since I started. So, yeah, you know, he just helps me out with everything on, like, a day-to-day basis type. So. Yeah, no, I think it's definitely helpful.
And they rep McConan as well?
Yeah, my main manager does McConan.
Okay.
I think he's done McConan for a while, longer than, you know, I've been with him.
Oh, interesting.
So my favorite song that you got out right now is Wake. Wake Up. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What was the process of recording that? When did you record that song?
Like, it was like October 2022. It's funny, bro. That song was a throwaway. Like, I recorded I was at the studio, and I had just locked in with Benny X, like, a week prior to this. And so he sent me a bunch of beats, you know. He had sent me, like, probably 20 to 30 different beats. And so, like, that whole next week, I was just getting in the studio, you know, getting on, like, a couple of the beats here and there. And then he sent me that one that was with Filthy and then his little brother. And so I was like, this one is hard. Like, I want to get on this, but I didn't have no clue, like, what to do on it. You know, I didn't have any type of idea for it or anything. So I was like, all right, I'll just, you know, I'll wait till I get in the studio and I'll just try some on it. So I got in the studio and I pulled the beat up. I had my engineer pull the beat up and I was just, like, around on it. And that, like, hook that's on that song was just a throwaway, just demo hook. Like, I was just trying to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why it's like I'm not even really saying shit in that song. I was really just trying to find a flow and just find something that worked on that beat, because that beat was hard for me to get on. Like, I didn't know what to do on it at first. So I ended up recording that hook, and then I came back in the room and I was like, all right, like, just save that, you know. And so that song was just a hook, and I did a TikTok, like, where I just used this. I sped it up a little bit, like, just through, like, this little app I use where you can speed songs up.
Yeah.
And I posted it on TikTok, and the shit ended up just going crazy, bro. Like, blew up crazy first day. And the first day it blew up, I was like, damn, okay, like, we gotta do something with this. But there ended up being, like, a whole problem with the song where, like, somebody else had gotten on that same beat, and they were supposed to drop it. And they didn't know if they was going to drop it. So I ended up having to wait, like, 7 months until I could get that song cleared.
Wait, so the sped up version was the one that popped off?
Yeah, it was, like, sped up a little bit.
Is that kind of insulting, since there's so many times that this happens in the culture now where, like, the sped up version of a song ends up being,
bro,
the viral,
like,
one?
The crazy thing, too, so I went back to that song, like, 6 times before I actually fully finished it. Like, there's 6 different versions of that song with, like, 5 different verses. You know what I mean? Like, before I actually finalized it. Like, the original version that actually blew up. So when I had sent it to Benny X, the hook, he sent it back to me and he did like a demo where he put vocals in the background. So it was the song and it had Benny X's vocals in the background, like doing this like melodic vocal. And he was like, yo, like do this melodic vocal in the background. So I hadn't had time to go to the studio, you know, after he sent me that. So I ended up just posting the video on TikTok, and it had his vocals in the background. And nobody even knows that it's his vocals in the background. But yeah, I mean, the song was like kind of sped up, but that ended up blowing up. And then when I dropped the actual song, people were like, oh, we want the OG version. I'm like, bro, it's dead ass. I didn't change nothing with the hook besides it being sped up.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, sped up's better. I'm like, bro, what? Like, it's literally, it's the same shit. Like, you know what I mean?
So when you were like doing your whole thing musically, did you go out of your way to sort of tap in with the underground or like the new SoundCloud generation with like opening up for people like Ottoman shit? Was that stuff you were listening to at that time?
Hold on, before we get to because Diddy Bop, he did his thing with the Wake Up song.
That shit came out of nowhere too. He ended up doing that. That shit ended up blowing up. And then as soon as that shit blew up, bro, my label was on that shit. They were like, yo, like we need this kid to keep doing this, because whatever he doing it right. And I didn't even know like that shit was going on when it first happened, because I was kind of, I wasn't on my phone as much at this time. I was, you know, we were trying to plan a tour and shit.
And way after it came out too.
Yeah, bro. Like that song, it happened what? Probably like 6-7 months after the song
happened.
Happened
like during the summer.
Yeah.
I remember when we were at Rolling Loud, they kept trying to make you do the dance and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. So like this was way down the line after the song dropped, and you know, that shit kind of came out of nowhere. But as soon as he did that shit and it blew up, my label was just on it. They were like, yo, keep doing it.
Yeah.
And yeah, bro, that shit just became what it is. So
what's your friendship with Diddy Bop now since?
I don't really talk to him. I mean, I've tapped in with him, and, you know, told him I fuck with him and shit. And like, we follow each other, but I've never like spoken to him like that, like had a convo with bro. But shit, I fuck with bro. He's cool.
So open up for Autumn and shit, like was that was already the scene that you were feeling
so
at that time?
I met like Autumn shit back in, when did I meet bro? I think like 2019 is when I not met him in person, but like over the internet. I found like that whole scene, and he had like 10,000 followers at this time. And, you know, I started making like the plug and be shit and like that whole realm of music.
Who got you interested in that? Because we were just talking a little shine.
It was Summers and Autumn that were like the first ones doing that shit for it. And Corey Lingo too.
They use that genre as well though. Like they describe their shit as that.
As plug and be, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And Corey Lingo. We just interviewed Lil Sean too. And in the interview, he gives credit to
Corey was really one of the first to, you know, to do that
shit. He was doing real ass like R&B vocals on it though, like Corey singing like Chris Brown on like plug beats.
Yeah, Corey was on those, like those beats for a minute, bro. So it was like, man, it was like him, Summers, Autumn, Texaco. Who else, bro? I mean, Cito was on plug beats at this time. Not plug and B, but I mean, kind of. It was
like a whole Zan Gang wave.
Yeah, it's like Zan Gang, yeah, Mexico Dro.
Yeah, well, really cool. Really Zan Gang. Like, yeah. He was the one that,
That's the plug and B shit. Zan Gang was doing the plug and B shit.
Yeah, like Corey Starr, that
Dro
shit.
And them were like more just the bass plug, like old Cardi plug
like
type
the trap
shit. Yeah. But, yeah, so I found that music back in like 2018, and then I started tapping in with them like closer to 2019, and we were just in a bunch of group chats and shit. Like even Shine, bro, like me and Shine were talking when he was like a jit, bro. He was like 12, 13 years old. But yeah, bro, like at this time there were just this wave of group chats. Like that was the thing at the time. It was just group chats. So like everybody had these little collectives with their group chats on Instagram. So even like artists like Wyland and shit, even Yeet, bro, like I've known Yeet since like 2019, just through group chats.
Really?
Yeah, like shit goes way back because he was in the same group, you know, just kicking it with the same folks. So
Summers and Autumn.
Yeah.
So when people say that they feel like you sound like Yeet, is that just them not seeing the influences that you both have from the same scene?
I don't know. I just think that shit's funny, bro. I don't know.
I think it's the white rapper thing, honestly.
Yeah. It's either that or it's just, I feel like if somebody says that, they just haven't listened to enough of like that type of music. Because it's like they hear Yeet, because obviously Yeet is the most mainstream aspect that's came up from like, you know, came up from the underground. And then they're like, you know, any rapper that's rapping on a beat remotely similar or anything, they're like, oh, that sounds like Yeet. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's all derived from the same flow and the same, you know, everybody's got the same influences. Like we're all influenced by Thug. We're all influenced by Future, you know? And everybody, you know, obviously we did our own thing with it in that little like niche pocket of things, but you know, everybody's influenced by the same people. So it comes from the same shit.
That's like if you're like a drill rapper in Chicago coming up around like soon after Chief Keef blew up. It's like everybody who doesn't really pay super close attention to the genre is going to tell you that you're trying to sound like Chief Keef. Even though to you, it's kind of like this is a sound that this area has been cooking up and this is just a natural evolution of it. Yeah, you know?
It's a whole bunch of subgenres to that shit too.
Yeah. Yeah, even with the underground shit, like, I don't even, bro, they got a million subgenres nowadays. Like, I don't listen to underground shit anymore, really, but, like, should I be seeing new subgenres come up on TikTok, like, every day?
Right.
Somebody's making something new or some, like, new shit. But it all comes from the same place, you know?
It's weird because the era that people call, like, SoundCloud rap for a while there, like, we all called it, like, cloud rap, even though a lot of it didn't really sound that cloudy. But, like, and then when I look back on it, I'm like, people really refer to Young Lean as having like pioneered that genre, but there was a shitload of SoundCloud rappers that we kind of put into that box as well. And then the mainstream narrative became, oh, this is SoundCloud rap.
And like mumble rap and all that.
Mumble rap. People just say that all the fucking time back in the day.
Bro,
I was always doing interviews and having to defend mumble rap. But meanwhile, being like, what the fuck? Like, I know a lot of rappers.
At that time, like, that shit was so new to people.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck? Like, mumble rap, yeah,
because that's the era
he's not
of like
rapping lyrically.
Yachty and Uzi, like Uzi refusing to freestyle, Yachty saying that he didn't fuck with Tupac and all that kind of shit, like Lil Xan saying he didn't fuck with Tupac. That was such an era of like old heads going to war with the young generation, you know?
Yeah, and like I said, it's even kind of the same now, except the old heads are just like the next generation. You know what I mean? Like all the people who are used to listening to mainstream, they hear all this underground
It'll
shit.
It always
and
be
like
that. It's like
this shit is trash. You know what I mean?
It's the first reaction of defense. Yeah.
That's real.
So what's your relationship with like Yeet now?
Cause y'all I haven't talked to him in a long time, but like so obviously I knew him just from group chats and shit back in like 2019, early 2020. And then when I had turned 18 in August 2020, I you know, cause before I was 18, bro, my mom never used to let me travel by myself or anything. So as soon as I turned 18, like literally the week after my birthday, I took a flight out to LA. Just to link like all my internet homies out here. Mm-hmm. We had like a little B&B in Orange County. And that's when I first met Yeet. Like he was living in Long Beach at the time. We went, scooped him, and we were just kicking it at the B&B, just, you know, talking music shit. We were just a bunch of like homies at this time. You know, everybody was just cool and kicking it. Like, but I remember that's the first time I met Bristow too.
Yeah,
that same week.
We hung out.
Yeah.
How much of an impact do you feel like you've had on his sound? Like, how essential is this union that you guys got going on?
I feel like even though we don't have like hella songs together, but I'm really like, I give him a lot
this dude be in the studio
direction
every
like
time.
taste shit, not to sound like I'm a fucking A&R where I just sit back
the OMO cover was like his idea.
Yeah like a lot of the, I don't know, I guess like a lot of the creative direction, even though that's like a terrible umbrella of anything can mean a creative director, but like I do give him a lot of creative direction shit, and like he trusts my input on a lot of stuff.
Cause
especially when like
Bristow's
making track
hit.
Lists and stuff like that. Like,
Bristow's hit, bro. He like, this dude listens to a million different genres of music. Like, he's tapped into everything. So, you know, if I'm asking, when it comes to like something creatively, I'm always gonna go to Bristow and ask for his opinion on something. Cause I just know.
Even his merch, merch, I like came up with the designs and ideas for. But I don't just sit back and take all the credit for it. But like.
Nah, yeah. It's just like we're like a big friend group and everybody just gives input. Like I love having input from 100 different angles, you know? So it's like, you know, I'll go and ask around. But this dude is like the first person I go to anytime.
Mm.
So yeah, he definitely, you know, has a big impact on a lot of the shit.
It's crazy to see like the people in the group chats that you was in back in the day, because you got people like, so Fago, he was in there.
Yeah, even bro, Fago, like I was in Fago's, not his first collective, but his second, or actually, shit, nah, it was his first collective. He had a first collective, it was called Runner World. And this was like, he used to go by, I think it was like Trillanese, something like that. And he had just changed his name to So Fago. And he had started this collective called Runner World. And I remember I posted this one snippet on my Instagram, and all his fans were commenting on it. They were like, yo, you should get Fago on this. And I didn't know who he was at the time, because like I said, he was super small. He had like 2,000 followers at this time. And so like I looked, you know, because they were all tagging him, and I looked at his page and I was like, bro, this dude is hard as fuck. Like, his music is crazy. Why doesn't, you know what I mean? I was like shocked that he didn't have a bigger audience, because this is when he was making all his old shit. Like, this shit was sounded crazy. It sounded so different from anything that was being made at that time, too. So I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to lock in with bro. So, like, I hit him up, and I ended up sending him that open, and we got that song in. And then he hits me up, like, a day after we do that song, and he's like, yo, bro, you want to be in, like, my collective? I'm doing this little collective with a bunch of artists. Like, we all just making music with each other type shit. So I was like, yeah. So, like, he added me to this group chat, and I was in that collective, you know, and there was, like, Bryce was in there, which is, like, his main producer.
To this day.
Yeah, to this day, Bryce is still his producer. And I'm still, like, you know, me and Bryce still be talking here and there. But, yeah, Bryce is in there. Shit, Wu-Face Joey. Yeah.
He's going
Slump,
crazy right
Slump
now.
Six. Like,
Slump
yeah,
Six
yeah.
is
yeah,
in
like,
there.
Just hella, like, random people where you wouldn't even expect, you know what I mean? Which is, like, it's crazy because you look back at shit like that and you're like, damn, bro, like, not this really used to be a little shit. Community and not everybody's, you know, doing their own thing and everybody's got their own path. But it's cool to see, like, that everybody came up, you know what I mean? Like, everybody that I was around came up. So it's, like, it's really, it's, like, wholesome to see.
Why you and Fit go fall out?
Shit, bro, honestly, I don't even know. It was about some dumb shit. Because I was 16, 17 years old. And then he was young, too. And I think we just got into this big, like, argument in the group chat. And I don't even know, like, what it was about.
Yeah.
I was dating this girl, like, in high school. And I had added her to the group chat. And then me and her broke up. I only dated her for like a month. But me and her broke up. And then she goes in the group chat, like, talking crazy shit.
You like girls in your group chats?
No.
Like, I've never.
So that's the thing.
Oh, okay.
No, hell no. Nah.
Because that could get, like, yeah. They're already complicated enough. Yeah. You start putting girls in there. Holy
nah,
shit.
So this girl was from my city. And I, like, you know, okay. I knew this girl.
It's like
and
a real homegirl.
She was, like, she used to listen to all the same music, you know, which was, like, rare at this time because nobody was listening to that shit. And, so, like, I added her in the group chat. I was like, oh, yeah, like, I'll introduce you to all these dudes that you listen to. I added her in the group chat, and then me and her broke up. And then she goes in the group chat, like, saying, like, oh, like, he broke up with me. Like, he hates me. Like, he's not shit. And you know what I mean? And I come in there, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you know? And there's a bunch of, like, Captain Save-A-Ho-ass dudes in there. So they're saying shit. And I'm like,
really? He's trying to riz up your old...
Not Faygo, but there was a bunch of, like, other dudes in there that are on some Captain Save-A-Ho shit. Because it's a bunch of young kids in there. Yeah. So you know what I mean? Like, an attractive girl comes in there, like, you know, saying this and that. Yeah, obviously, all the young men are going to go in there.
Turn
like,
on each other
like,
right
yeah,
away.
Fuck him. So it's like, yeah, bro, you know. And I don't even know, like, really what happened between me and Faygo. That's the thing. It was really nothing. So, like, you know, obviously years went by and me and him were good. Like, I just seen him, we did Cole's 10-year for Lyrical.
Mm.
And we were just in the green room chopping it up for a minute. But yeah, just some kid shit, bro. You know, I fell out with all those dudes and we're all cool
and
now. So
it's
like,
was all love.
Yeah, even the producers, bro. Like, I fell out with them and nowadays, you know, I be getting on their beats and we be chopping it up.
When you're that young and people start getting money and having egos and all this kind of shit at the same time, it's just like so inevitable because dudes don't really have like the social skills to know how to navigate that shit until
bro, like,
they get a bit older, I think.
Even me, when shit started happening for me, like I wasn't necessarily young. I was like 19, but bro, shit just happens so fast. A lot of people don't understand when like shit happens with this music shit. Like when you get introduced to the industry shit, that shit happens so fast, bro. Mm. And sometimes, like, I mean, you see a lot of these kids crash out because it's too much for them. Like, shit happens so fucking fast and they don't know how to handle it or how to process it, bro, and they get hooked on drugs or they get, you know, they doing shit that they shouldn't be doing and they crash out about it. Mm. It's so much for them and they're not used to it. A lot of these kids come from places where, you know, they come out to LA and it's fucking insane to them.
They have access to so much more drugs.
It's like a whole new world out here, bro. For a kid that's coming from like, you know, somewhere like a random spot like Louisiana coming out here, they're like, what the fuck? Like, this is crazy. Y'all live like this.
Did you get caught up in that when you moved to LA, like partying too much and shit?
Nah, I mean,
not really.
Nah, because I was always coming to LA like growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, and especially when I turned 18, I was coming out here a lot.
So, we kept
like,
a good circle too.
Like, yeah. I've always had like a good circle of people with me. But I mean, I was partying when I was younger. But like when shit started going up and I was coming out here, I was really just focused on like staying on my shit and, you know, locking in. Because I already, you know, I had seen a bunch of kids that that I was cool with come out here and crash out. So it's like, I seen them, I'm like, shit, I don't want to be like him. He's broke now. He can't do anything for himself.
I knew girls who like moved out here and then like 6 months later, they had to go home and go to rehab.
Yeah.
Like yeah, that bro. Fast. Because they're like chicks who would like do coke and shit, but then all of a sudden they're in the club and they got rich guys like giving them coke. And it was just
man,
over.
Those clubs are treacherous.
Slippery
bro.
Slope.
I hate the club.
Definitely.
Especially the ones here, bro. Oh my God.
I'm so out of touch with that world, but for sure it breeds some of the worst shit on earth.
Yeah. I mean, like when
some demons.
Yeah, when I was coming out here like late 2020, like I was kind of going to the club here and there because there were like a lot of events with like the people I was tapped in with, or like even some of the label people, they'd be like, yo, come to this event with me. Cause obviously they're, mm-hmm. you know, they're trying to bring you around and shit. They'd be like, yo, come to this event with me. So, you know, I was going to all this shit. Man, I just got, that shit just gets burnt out so fast, bro. Like, I'd rather be at the crib or be in the studio, like, working.
Mm. What was the process of recording the Jensen song?
Shit, I was just at home in my room. Like,
so that was before you was even, like, going out to studios and shit?
Yeah. That was when I was still, like, at home. Just,
I think that's the first song I seen.
Yeah.
When you did that, like, what year was this?
That's 2022. A lot of those songs that, you know, I have out now are all from 2022.
That all just started?
I haven't really, like, dropped anything new. Like, since we finished touring shit, I'm just now getting back into, like, dropping shit. So, but yeah, I just recorded that, like, in my room with my little setup, just engineering myself. I just use FL Studio.
You're a Young Lean fan from back in the day?
Oh, yeah, hell yeah, bro. Lean, like I said, because Lean was part of that whole, like, Not he wasn't part of the 2016 main group that came up, but like if you knew about the shit, you knew Lean because Lean influenced all those dudes. You know what I mean? So like hell yeah.
You see the Young Lean BLP Kosher video?
But that song is hard. I just heard that song is hard, bro.
That was wild. It's just like it's so random to see like what shit he actually does.
Like that. He doesn't do features like that.
He doesn't do that much. Yeah. So when he does, it's just like oh shit. Like and especially with like a rapper, like because he's so in his own world now.
Yeah. No, that shit is hard. I just heard that shit the other day.
Yeah.
How was tour and shit? You just got off tour, right?
Yeah. Shit, insane. Like. You know, being able to go all those places and fucking see, like, different fans from every fucking city and all these different, you know, in this country and the different countries and fucking Europe, you know, that shit was crazy, bro. I had a blast. It's very draining, definitely, because, you know, you don't get a lot of sleep. You got to stay on top of shit. Excuse me. But, yeah, It's a blast at the end of the day.
But were you like taking care of yourself or are you just going for it and barely sleeping?
That's the thing, bro. Like when we were about to start tour, I was like, all right, I'm gonna take care of myself. Like I told him, I was like, bro, like
No fast food.
We gotta, you know, we taking energy shots, like little immunity shots. I was like, we taking these every day. Bro, I get on tour and we're eating at Dunkin' Donuts every morning and fucking gas stations. Because it's like, we drove. What else are you going to do?
There's not a Whole Foods in every fucking city. You got to go way out of your way. And the problem is that when the show's done and it's like 10 p.m.
Bro, it's like 10, 11 p.m. Nothing's open. Yeah. But, all that's open
is fast food. Then also like all the chicks that are kicking it backstage with you and shit, to them, this is the only time you're going to be in town. So they want to hang out till 4 in the morning. And to you, it's like... If you want to do the thing to take care of your fucking mind and your body, it's like you should go back to the hotel and just go to sleep or whatever. But
who
it's
wants
so,
to go back to the hotel?
It's so hard. And especially when you haven't really like toured that much and shit. So this is still all new to you. Yeah. By the time you're 30, maybe you could like opt out. But it's tough to make those decisions when you're young.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, I tried to, you know, stay on my shit during tour, but. Like I said, for the U.S. part, we drove. We had just like a big Sprinter van. So we drove completely across the country. And it's like, yeah, you know, we're driving at late at night. There ain't shit open besides a gas station. And all, you know, the driver's just stopping at gas stations to get gas. So all I'm eating is fucking chips and just drinking mad water. But
yeah.
No Erewhons in the Midwest.
No Erewhons in the Midwest.
Yeah. You only drink water? You don't drink energy drinks?
I mean, there was like a little point in time, actually recently, just from tour, I was drinking a lot of energy drinks, but that shit gave me like super bad anxiety, bro. Really? Like, I can't. That shit like fucks with my brain.
When you go to a gas station, you need an energy drink. Which one are you drawn to?
Just a Red Bull. Actually, okay. I like the Celsius ones.
Yeah, me too.
Those ones are good. The Celsius ones, and then they got those G Fuel ones too. Those ones are pretty good. But I feel like those don't give me a lot of energy though. Like, usually it would just be Red Bull or Celsius.
And then you have Gamer Aura wherever you go. Like, people just see that. And yeah, they feel like you might be like Ninja or something.
It's a beige rug on my cup.
It's a different type of swag, though. People know it's like, you know what I mean?
Bro, they said they're going to see Danny Mullen tonight.
Oh, really?
I fuck with Danny, bro. Danny.
Yeah, that's the homie. What are you guys doing with him? Oh, you can see him do comedy?
He's doing some comedy shit tonight.
He keeps telling me to go.
That guy is insane, bro.
Yeah. He's like, facing felony charges for...
For the Tennessee shit?
Yeah, but what did he do? He was like...
Impersonating a doctor.
Yes. And out here, it's like impossible. It's so hard to get arrested out here unless you like shoot somebody or like sell crack in front of the cops or whatever.
Man, police
but out
just
there,
got so much shit going on out here.
They don't got shit going on. They're like, you impersonated a doctor. We're throwing the fucking book at you, bro. Sorry.
Where did he do that at?
In Tennessee. Where's it? Tennessee. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He just went out there with some video. He's just thinking he's funny.
They probably got his ass on the news in Tennessee for that shit.
Oh yeah, no, for sure they ain't playing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What's your current thoughts on like the underground rap scene right now?
Shit, man. I don't know. Like I said, I really haven't listened to underground shit like in a while. I really just got back into like mainstream shit, and I stay on that.
I don't know.
I see people coming up. They doing their thing. Osama's selling hard. I fuck with him. I heard a couple of his songs. I hit him up. I told him I fuck with him because I fuck with his shit. I don't know. I feel like I should pay more attention to a lot of that shit, but it's just like right now, the point I'm at, I'm really just trying to lock back in and focus on myself and like on my shit right now. Cause you know, like tour ended, I really want to get back into locking back in and getting back on top of my shit. Nice. So yeah, I've just been super focused on that, bro. And just listening to, you know, all the shit. You know, all the mainstream shit. Because I'm trying to make more mainstream shit.
Really? So you take more influence from the actual goats of the genre at this point?
100%, bro. Yeah. Because I'm trying to take my whole sound and make it mainstream. Like, I'm not trying to be, you know, tied into underground shit anymore.
Do you consider yourself an underground rapper at this point?
You know, I came from the underground. So, yeah, 100%. But, you know, I want to go on to bigger things. Like, I don't want to be boxed in and get stuck in that, you know, in that realm of shit. Because I mean, it's cool, you know what I mean? Like, I could sit here and like keep making underground music and be financially stable for the rest of my life, you know, and be chilling where I'm at. But it's like, bro, I want more than that. Not even like talking money. Like, I just want more opportunity. I want to go and work with Pharrell one day. I want to go and work with all these people, you know what I mean? So it's like, you can't do that shit if you're just stuck in one realm and you're not, you know, you're not moving around. Like, I'm constantly moving around, bro. I'm constantly traveling, you know, constantly, like, linking up with people. I mean, I really, bro, we be doing the most random shit, me and him both. Like, we'll end up in the studio with a random-ass person and I'll be like, what the fuck?
Today's already random. We're going shooting after this studio later.
Like. Yeah, we be moving around, bro. I feel like when I'm stuck at home, like, I'm not being productive, and I need to constantly stay productive.
But if you made a song that sounded like a straight up like pop attempt, don't you feel like you might be like alienating a lot of your fans? Like, are you trying to kind of toe the line between those two things?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you gotta like, so if you're transitioning in, you know, you obviously you're going as an underground artist going into the mainstream. I mean, look at like Yeet's a great example, bro. Like, Yeet does a lot more of the mainstream shit now. He has a mainstream appeal. Like, you know, everybody loves Yeet's music.
If we didn't already know that, Drake song really proved it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. But he did that slowly. You know, he didn't go straight from making songs that sounded like For Life to songs that sounded like the snippets he's putting out now. You know what I mean? Like, he slowly kind of kept that sound, but manipulated it into newer and newer things, and then got to where he's at now. So, you know, that fan base stayed every step of the way because he slowly just got everybody accustomed to that.
What's the biggest plug and be song from your perspective? Or like, there hasn't really been that like hit out of that genre that realistically will like lift everybody up.
I mean, there's really just like influential songs like Pack Runner Bitch by like Summers.
There's a lot of like summer songs and autumn songs, like Nina, for example.
Nina was
one of the ones that got super, super big. But it's like, you're not hearing that on the radio. You know what I mean?
I feel like the thing is with the underground too is like, it's so toxic
because
it's just constant comparisons, constant like, oh, he's washed now. Oh,
yeah.
He wants to be like this. Oh, he's You know what I mean? Like,
end of the day,
they don't let you just make music anymore. It's always like, oh, you sound like
political, bro.
You sound like a mix of Travis Scott, Playboi Carti, and fucking Mac DeMarco. Like, what are you doing?
Bro.
Like, bro, what?
Yeah. For the most part, you still had a beef in the underground. You don't really.
Man, I don't give a fuck. I make money. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's why you just gotta stick to yourself, bro. Like,
yeah, bro. I have like a whole like life, you know? So I see that shit. I see like that beef shit is like, you're too into the internet, bro. Like,
what do you see? What do you think about shit like when you see Summers and Homicide Gang getting into actual real beef at like Box Fest and shit like
that's
that?
That's their own shit.
That's their own shit. Yeah, I can't say anything about it just because it's not my business.
But you know that's kind of funny though because it's like in the underground you kind of have like the more nerdy side of it and then you have like the dudes who are basically street dudes. They just make music that kind of fits more into the underground.
Yeah,
you know.
So that
creates a weird dynamic.
I don't know. Everybody's got their own thing going on. I just like I said, I really just focus on my shit. End of the day, I don't be, you know, I got, and even outside of the music, like I have a whole personal life, you know?
Mm.
So, you know, I'm trying to buy a house right now. I'm trying to do a lot of shit that a lot of other people wouldn't be doing. So, you know?
Yeah. Cause at the end of the day, a lot of that beef shit is like very tempting to people, but doesn't really like affect your career in a good way.
It's like, I don't give a fuck about somebody saying fuck me on Twitter, man. I'm buying a crib. What like,
I feel it.
You sitting in bed at your mama crib. What are you doing? So yeah, bro, I don't give a fuck.
What's Travis Scott's influence on you? Because I know you said that you want to transcend to the
man,
next level.
I love Travis, bro. Like, his music has been, you know, I've been listening to his shit since I was eighth grade. I mean, I found Travis Scott when he dropped A-Team. That was, like, super old song. What was that? Did he drop that after Owl Pharaoh?
That was I think it was in between, like, Rodeo and Birds, or if maybe it was after Birds. I don't know, but I think it came out like 2017, so
yeah,
around that era, like the Birds era.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember I used to party with this one chick that was just listening to, what was it, Before Rodeo or Beyond Rodeo or some
before
shit?
Before the Rodeo.
Days Before the Rodeo. Days Before the Rodeo. And I never thought that like, oh, this guy's gonna be the biggest fucking rapper. I actually thought that she was kind of tripping for thinking it was so good, but here we are.
I love that project, bro. That project is crazy,
Why did I say Rodeo?
Too. Yeah, Mama Sita, Jersey Should Try, all that.
Man, he just Backyard. Said he had so many gems back then too, like, man, I used to be so on top of Travis's shit.
Did you think Travis?
Even to this day, I'm like on top of his shit. Like, I love Travis's music, bro.
Yeah, but back then, did you see him getting to the level he's at right now?
Yeah, I just feel like he always had that sound, bro. Yeah. And, you know, his sound back then was the same thing. It was so different. So, you know, he just had, like, that mainstream appeal. And it's like, if you have that mainstream appeal, you're going to get big, you know?
Also, if Kanye's pushing it, you know it's going to be fire. Like, Kanye has that golden touch with every artist he keeps around, I feel like.
Marry a Kardashian at some point.
Yeah.
That helps.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely helps.
Definitely doesn't hurt.
You did a song with Destroy Lonely.
Yeah, yeah. So
how did that come about?
I had hit Lone up. This was, like, right when he got signed to Opium. This was, like, I think this was early 2022, actually. Yeah.
It was 2021.
Was it 2021?
Yeah,
it's 2021. Summer.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Cause I was in New York. I had hit him up because this is when I had like just found his music. And I really fucked with bro at the time. Like, I, you know, finding a new artist like that is always like, that's the best thing, bro, when you find a new artist like that. So I hit him up and I was like, yo, like, I just bought a feature out, bro. I think I paid like $400 for a feature. I was like, yo, get on this song, like, throw you 400. And so he got on it, and we made that song, and I dropped it on this little project I had put out in, like, 2021. Okay, yeah, it was 2020. Fuck, I can't talk right now. It was 2021, because that was that. I had dropped a project called, like, what was it called? Like Pink. Planet Pink.
Planet Pink, yeah.
So I had dropped that, and I had that song with there. I had that song with him on there. And, like, I had that project out for, like, 2 months. And I didn't really have any traction at this time. So, like, you know, shit had, like, 10,000 plays. And I was like, yo, fuck this song. Like, I don't like my verse on there. I'm going to delete it. I'm going to go back to it later. And then I'm going to hold on to it. So I ended up, like, privating that tape. And then back, like, summer of 2022. I went back to the song, redid my verse on there, held on to it, because at this time, Penthouse Shorty started going up. So I was like, all right, well, now I got this song with Lone. Lone's obviously way, way bigger now, you know, and Lone's doing a lot more now. I'm going to hold on to this, and I'm going to put this out, you know, I'm going to put it out, like, soon. So I didn't even put it out, like, you know, on all platforms type shit. I just...
You had, like, a hosting page.
Yeah, like, you know, a lot of the dudes that I was fucking with had, like, hosting pages on SoundCloud. So I would just send them songs all the time. And, you know, they were doing all, like, Lone shit, too. Like, they did everybody's shit. They did Lone. They would post a bunch of Cito exclusives. Like, yeah. So I, you know, I would just send them songs all the time. And I was like, yo, here, like, drop this one. And I think one of them dropped it. And yeah, shit did really good, and that's kind of just how that came to be. So yeah, but I never put that shit out like officially type shit. Yeah. Mm.
You and Lone, y'all, you want to work with him in the future or?
Yeah, 100%, bro. I fuck with Lone heavy.
Yeah,
I've always fucked with his music ever since I discovered him. But yeah, 100%, I would do shit with him.
You feel like Autumn gets the credit he deserves?
Autumn?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel like
being Autumn's doing his thing? Yeah.
I feel like that's definitely a regret I have, is that I should have been on them in, like, 2018, 2019. Like, when they first started coming out, I had kind of, like, lost track of what was going on in the underground. I should have been pushing hard for those types of interviews, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it was really small at that time. You know what fucking, like, ignited that shit? Like, kind of brought the underground a little bit was the Gabby shit.
I was going to say, thing I saw you guys cover about, like, Summers or anybody from that shit.
That was really the thing that, like, that brought light to the underground, bro.
It did.
Also, Twisty P.
You got to tell our Twisty P story.
Before
Twisty P was on Yeet, bro, there's a video of him crashing a car to an old song of mine.
Really? With the same alien filter.
Two videos, bro.
That's legendary.
So he has the Yoda filter. You've never seen that video of him crashing a car with the Yoda filter?
I think I do remember that, but yeah.
That was my song playing in that video. Yeah. I remember when that shit happened, somebody DM me and they're like, bro, Twisty P just fucking crashed a car to your video. And I'm like, who the hell is Twisty P?
He had just gotten the Twiz face tag.
I was like, who the hell is that, bro? Like, what are you talking about?
He's like the Crit Mac of the underground.
Dude, they sent me the video. And he, like, literally wrecks a car. He's got my song playing in the background. So I post that shit. I'm like, yo, this dude is tweaked out. Like, this dude's funny as fuck. And I think he hit me up. Yeah, he hit me up. And he was like, bro. Yo, bro, like, I was shooting a music video in Arizona. And he was like, yo, bro, I want to be in your music video. And I was like, fuck it, bro, pull up. So he drove from San Diego. Let me tell you the story, actually. This is an insane
story. He didn't make it smoothly to
Arizona. Oh, my God. Right here.
Oh, my God.
We all pulled up to Arizona for that weekend. Fucking.
Dude, nah. So do you remember what happened on his way out there?
Yeah.
So
it took like two cars to get there.
It's fucked, bro. So I used to kick it with this one dude who was pretty big on like TikTok. He just did like a lot of TikTok shit. And I'm still cool with him to this day. I don't talk to him as much anymore, but we're still close. So I was kicking it with bro. And he had been talking to Twisty a little bit, because at this time, Twisty was kind of getting, like, people knew about him, but it was super low-key. Like, I remember the first time I seen him, he popped up on my TikTok, and everybody was like, whose fucking dad is this, bro? Like, why are you making TikToks to Yeet?
Because he looked like such a jock.
Dude, he looked like a frat. Well, he was like a baseball college frat.
Yeah, yeah. You could tell that he wasn't like some emaciated lean drinker. He looked like a big strapping young buck.
I mean, at this time too, it was a lot of kids just listening, like blowing this shit up at the time. So when you see this big dude like making a fucking TikTok to Yeet, you're like, yo, what the fuck? But anyway, so he hits me up and he's like, yo, I want to be in your video shoot. So I'm like, shit, all right, bet, like pull up. Dude. This guy calls me at 2 a.m. I didn't think he was serious. I'm like, oh, bro, you live in San Diego. Like, I was shooting this video tomorrow. You're not coming out here. Like, you know what I mean? I'm thinking he's just fucking around. Kevin. Bro, he texts me at 2 a.m. and he's like, on my way. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, all right, bro, bet. So he didn't have a car. So he had his friend drive him. He like, I guess he just asked one of his friends, like, yo, drive me out to Arizona. So halfway into the drive, bro, his friend wants to sleep. So he lets Twisty drive. He fucking wrecks his friend's car, bro. Totals his friend's car in the middle of the desert. Middle of fucking nowhere on the road from San Diego to fucking Arizona. Totals his car, right? And I guess he wasn't like that close with this guy. Like, I don't know who this dude was, but he wasn't that close with him. So he totals his car. his friend's like freaking out. He's like, bro, like, what the fuck? You just crashed my fucking car. You know what Twisty does? He's like, damn, bro. Calls an Uber, keeps coming to Arizona.
Damn.
He just left his friend with a totaled car to come to Arizona, bro.
That's a man on a mission.
He gets out here. I have to pick him up. I picked him up from like the first gas station when you get into Arizona, bro. And I'm like, bro, how the fuck did you get out here? And he's like, oh, I just Ubered. Like, I just left my friend. I'm like, bro, like, what? You just left him? Like, you don't care about, bro? And he's like, nah, he'll be all right. He's all good. Bro, I guess his friend was, like, tweaking out and, like, showed up at his parents' crib, like, 2 days later, knocking on their door, like, yo, your son totaled my fucking car, like.
And left me, which is crazy.
Bro, it was just a whole crazy scenario.
The more I think about it, the more I think we should have him back on.
Oh, dude.
The last couple years has been like, really?
Yeah.
The crazy shit, too, is that so they were doing the live stream podcast with Blasi and House Phone and shit, and Twisty P was supposed to pull up, so he pulls up. And somebody was waiting for him, and they beat the fuck out of him.
That's that one interview y'all did,
yeah,
right?
And then he came on camera, and his face was all fucking bloody and shit.
You've never seen that where he runs in here, and he's like, yeah, yeah.
No way.
It's at the old spot, bro. Like, somebody hit him with brass knuckles and shit, and we didn't have security or anybody at that time.
This was in his, like, tweaker, his full, like, prime tweaker era.
Yeah, like 2020.
Like, really letting loose.
And then it's kind of a shame because Blasi like turned off the live stream because he felt bad about it, but I would have just talked to the motherfucker even with the bloody face.
So that week he was in Arizona with us that week, and like
party with
he's
us.
Like a big kid, bro. Like at this time too, he was on I'm not even gonna say, but you know, at this time he was more like grounded. He wasn't He wasn't the Twisty P the internet saw. Like, he was very, he was just like a big kid. Like, he obviously, you know, like, he needed some guidance, but, you know, he was cool. And we were there, you know, we were taking care of him, bro. Like, I sent him to my homeboy Jay's crib, and, you know, Jay was taking care of him. And every day I was going to fucking link with them, bro. And we were just fucking, what did we do? We
went to a couple parties.
Yeah.
You had like a fucking house party show that we
did. Yeah, bro. So I performed at this fucking like house party in Arizona. Like the most just fucking like random shit ever. I was standing on top of like a kitchen countertop, like performing with a mic that didn't even work.
Yeah, I was just playing
and
the
then
songs.
There, you see Twisty in the middle with his shirt off, like
moshing,
fucking
crazy.
Moshing with a bunch of
biggest
like
man in
18 year olds, bro. Like 17, 18 year olds that are in there, and he's fucking tweaking out, bro. Like it looked so insane, but. Yeah, nah, we kicked it out there with him. Kind of just took him around Arizona. And then that's when he went back home. And then like 2 weeks later, bro, is when all the...
He went up.
It just went... Yeah, he went up and shit went downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Basically. All the viral shit was all like pretty bad for him overall.
I feel bad, bro. Like, he's a good kid.
No, he's a good person. Yeah.
He had like... just the wrong hand.
I think he just got wrapped. Let the internet wrap him up.
Yeah,
because
his mom is the nicest lady ever too, bro. Really? Like, she's very, very nice. Like, really tries to take care of him and shit. I think it was just a mix of like bad influence, bro, and just
drugs.
Getting carried away, and then not even drugs, bro. He didn't even do drugs or anything. Like, because I remember everybody would be like, oh, he's on drugs, bro. He just genuinely like. He's not mentally there like
that. I remember thinking that he was on drugs and then having people kind of correct that and being like, he's just like that.
He had like an accident. I mean, everybody knows this now. He had like a baseball accident.
Mm.
So like that's kind of what led to that shit. But yeah, bro, like, I don't know. He's a good kid, bro. He just, like I said, just mix a bad influence and getting carried away with shit.
Definitely. So what do you got coming up that you're excited about that the fans should look out for?
Shit, bro, just... new music, new videos, everything. So yeah, I'm just really trying to stay on top of shit with just being consistent and really just taking my time to work on music. Like, I think a lot of the music I was making before, I wasn't taking my time on as much as I do now. Like, I'll be in the studio, I'll go back to songs 10 times over. Really just having like a full creative process with everything I'm doing.
Definitely. What are you trying to like have an official album at any point in the future, or what's your thought process on that?
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, the On My Own album was kind of like, I'd say like my first. It was my first studio album.
So you count that as an album? Okay,
I count that as a studio album because that, you know, I fully did that album in the studio. Mm-hmm. But you know, the work that I'm gonna put out from like here on is way more, you know, obviously I'm trying to, like I said, I'm trying to take the more mainstream approach with shit. And trying to really, really just like take the, like I said, take the time with my shit and put a lot more components into my music.
More polished sound.
Yeah, more polished, bro. Like more worked on, you know.
What would be your dream mainstream feature?
Shit, Drake, bro. Like, I grew up on Drake. So that's like, yeah, most definitely. Other than Drake, probably shit, Future, Thug. Don Toliver, really like Don Toliver's music. Yeah, bro, there's a lot of dudes that I fuck with.
Definitely. All right, well, we appreciate you coming on.
Of course, bro, I appreciate it.
Everybody,
appreciate
go,
y'all having me.
Go turn them up on all streaming services.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. Everybody, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Patreon, Instagram, etc. Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support.